Welcome to The Watchman, 1 hour of great teaching on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening again. Welcome to The Watchman. Today again, just like last Wednesday, I'm in live in studio. And I'm going to continue from where I stopped. I do remember where I stopped, so I'm going to continue from there. These are very important messages for the times in which we are living. And this is the only way that I'm going to be communicating to the people right now. So it's important that you pay attention, because this is, you know, the end time message for this day. So I'll start from last time. I told you there's a group of people called the Bilderbergs. Bilderbergs is Bilderbergs, Bilderbergs, and they have been meeting since 1954, and they sit down a group of very influential people, including very powerful political widow dealers, Henry Kissinger, you know, the Bill Gates and all his group, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the kings and the queens, the IMF and all those, and they determine the direction in which they want the world to move. But they are actually the cabinet of the god of this world. They are pushing for a very demonic agenda. You just have to know that, an extremely demonic agenda. So now these people, I told you in the last segment that in 1991 they asked Bill Clinton to come and join the meeting. They called people on invitation. They are the usual members. Then they call people on invitation, people whom they think have something to do about how the way the world is. One of the people who was recently added as a permanent member in the Bilderberg group was Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, after his thing became very big. So he was included in the group, and now they run it. They run all these things. So they run all the social media platforms and so on and stuff like that. And they have their interests now. So they told Bill Clinton he would have to accept the North America Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, which he did, and a few other things which they told him he must do if he becomes president. And as a result of that, when you agree to that, they reward you by supporting using their media and using finances. So you have a huge war chest. And in America, a lot of politics is about money, you know, because you run adverts on states, what, you know, what you've done and so on. So Bill Clinton won and beat, George Bush Sr., I think, who recently passed on. Now, all the presidents actually either send top representatives or go there themselves. And for them to have favorable media, they have to accept what the Bilderbergs do, because those people own all the media. There are about six companies which own everything that is called media, and all of them sit in the Bilderbergs. So if you sit down and you listen to all those media channels, now Fox News, which was a bit different and had a conservative view, was recently bought by Disney, which is also very Bilderberg. So now very soon Fox News will stop being what it is, and they have started, I am seeing them moving slowly by slowly, because they were bought by Disney. And Disney is a very Bilderberg, you know, that they're in part of that whole group of people who are pushing this satanic agenda. So what they do is they go and buy all these companies and control them. Either the owner is called and co-opted into their system, or they will buy it off, one of the two. So anyhow, so there are like six companies which own everything. That I'm talking about movies. The purpose is to control the way people think. Through the movies you watch, through the news you listen to, through the websites, channels, through the things you check. So if they want to push something, they will start by, you know, it starts from somewhere. Then you go to Google, it's the first thing that will show up when you go for a search. And all the stories that are in favor of what they want will come up first. So all the information, if you are to get anything negative, you will have to go to like 4 or 5 pages to find even anything negative. Then you know that this they are pushing for something. They all know this, you know, the whole search engine and what. So they use that to control the minds of people. So that's how they create a consensus of thought. And we're talking about very few people, like a nucleus of people. So, as somebody said, people who can fit within one room. Now what they do, they have their people who work for them. And it's almost like throwing a stone in water. And it just enters in one place. Now that place it enters is called is what you'd equate to the Bilderbergs. Then it surrounds, you know, it goes in a ripple effect. Now there are people who come who are in touch with the Bilderbergs, and they are just told what to do. They don't know exactly what the real plan is. Then others, then others, then others. Eventually they have a whole layer of people across the world who control. And the idea is to control what people think and what people believe. Okay? Because then if they control what you think about everything, they will control what you believe, and then they will control what you do or don't or do not do. Okay, so now in 2016, in around April, May, that's where I ended last Tuesday, they were talking about one of the subjects on the Bilderbergs meeting was the U.S. presidential elections. Now, that was when Trump had just won the was more or less set to win the Republican nomination. And so it was a big concern for them. So they said the U.S. presidential elections was one of the things they discussed. Then afterwards, after that, after the Bilderbergs meeting ended, that was the end of any positive Trump media coverage. And now the people who hate Trump don't know that they're actually being controlled by these six companies. And ultimately, at the top of the six companies, the devil. But they started bashing him. After that Bilderbergs meeting, you go and check it out. After that, 97% of all media coverage was very negative. And 92% was extremely negative. 97% was negative. 92% was extremely negative. I'm talking about a survey which was done against Trump. And they tried to do everything in their power to bring him down. That has not stopped up to today. Why is that? If you can believe what they are saying, then you are not in control. You don't dig deeper. Because as soon as I saw all the negative media coverage, at first I didn't know what to think about Trump. Until I saw all the negative media coverage, then I said, this man has to be doing something right for all the forces of evil to be so hot against him. And this is not somebody who is new, because previously he was a star in the whatever in the showbiz world when he was doing The Apprentice and what. So all the things that he had suddenly become racist, misogynist, what, and all those things were new. Nobody said those things about him. Just a few months before, he had said he's going into politics. That time he was cool, billionaire, what, you know, this. Now suddenly he has become very evil. I said, now this man has to be doing something right for these people to hate him this much. So I went dug deep. Then I started seeing why they hate him. And I started seeing the things you're saying. Of course, you would never see any speech by Trump. None on any of the media channels. And he was talking about normal things about, you know, bringing jobs to America back from China, which had all been shipped to China. What? In other words, he was against the whole internationalist, globalist agenda that the Bilderbergs people stand for. And now he was a big threat to them. But that means he was a big asset to the kingdom of God, because that globalist agenda, which is spoken about in Revelation chapter 13, is going to come to pass, but not yet. It is not yet time in the plan of God, even according to what he told me at the beginning of all this pandemic, or whatever pandemic, whatever, you know, this coronavirus. I don't know if I even should call it a pandemic, at least not in Uganda, but anyhow. So then I knew there was something right. Now it set them up, set them back. Now, according to their previous plans, 2020 was supposed to be the year in which they roll out the plan to actually now get everybody on a grid where they start doing, chipping people and so on. It was supposed to be 2020. And that had been planned from way earlier, and they had even set it out in previous publications in a very cryptic form in The Economist magazine, very, very cryptic form. They had set out earlier that 2018 was supposed to be the year for the one world currency, which they were supposed to call the Phoenix. They said that in the 1998 Economist magazine, and said 20 years from now there will be a world currency. But so many of their plans were set back by the election of Donald Trump to be the president of the biggest economy and the biggest country in terms of might and everything in the world. So now they had a choice. So they decided that they make Trump look so bad in the image of the American people so that he has just 4 years, so that he doesn't have, you know, second presidency. That was plan B. Plan A was to impeach him, and then impeach him, then get somebody who is not as stubborn as him, who is a good man, but I don't think he has a skin as thick as Donald Trump's, to be now the one in charge. So, of course, you know, the impeachment failed. Then they started looking at the figures and they realized that Trump had almost every chance of re-election. Now, they had two options. Number one, either they take a gamble on hoping that Trump does not get re-elected, and then they wait after this year and then implement their programs in 2021 when Trump is no longer president of America. And now the next president, if he's a Democrat, then would roll into place. Of course, if Trump doesn't win, it would be a Democrat. They would roll into place their international world, one world government systems. So they either had to gamble on that, number one, or they said, let us try to roll it out regardless, even with him there. So now, when the coronavirus came, which so many people believe was manufactured in a lab in Wuhan, I believe that too. It was the perfect opportunity. And I also know that there was a patent for coronavirus vaccines, which was bought by Bill Gates in 2018, 1 year before the coronavirus comes. So either Bill Gates is very prophetic or is involved in something very sinister. So they said, should we wait and gamble on Trump losing the election in November, on November 3rd, or do we roll this thing out anyway and try to silence him using, you know, all the media channels they have and all that? So they chose the latter. When this whole corona thing, I don't think they were really ready for it to come out, but when it eventually came out, I think they said, this is our opportunity, let's roll out the thing. And so they did. And but now what they had not calculated is that the Lord is God. And now, rather than it taking effect the way they wanted, so many countries are now easing up. The coronavirus is stopping to be the big issue it was. In Italy, which killed the most people in Europe, Syria clubs are beginning training on 18th of this month, beginning training. The Syria, meaning the Italian, you know, top division, football division. That means the division will come back somewhere around June. So even champion in the England, the lower division, the championship, the division below the Premier League, is actually, they are thinking of starting. Premier League clubs will soon call their players back into training if they haven't already. So now, this was not planned. The coronavirus was supposed to remain a big deal up to at least September, October, by which time they would be ready now to roll out the world vaccine. But somehow God has thrown everything over there as asunder, and it seems it is not working out. Now, even the people have been exposed. Now, I don't think anybody is going to listen to Bill Gates again in regard to vaccines. I think he has been extremely exposed. And I'm talking about his Instagram page having millions and millions of people abusing him and calling him the gates of hell. And social media managers deleting negative comments, like almost 40,000 negative comments a day. But negative comments continue coming. So now he is that unpopular. And I don't think anybody, apart from our governments here, of course, here they just come and give our leaders a few million dollars and they are ready to set everybody out. But elsewhere, now in America, they are talking of passing a bill to ban mandatory vaccination. Now, if America takes that lead, then it is going to be very good for the world, because America is still a leader, whether they like it or not. So if America passes a bill banning mandatory vaccination, that's going to be the best news for all the world, because these vaccines, and it has been proven before, in Kenya, there was one which had a very clear thing in the vaccination, which was supposed to be for tetanus, but it had a very clear anti-fertility drug, which meant that most of the girls who would take it would fail to give birth. They give it to you when you're young, you grow old, you get married, you want to have children, you can't. And you don't know that it was injected in you through whatever. And that was proven. The Catholic Society in Kenya sent the vaccines for testing in South Africa, and they found a clear known anti-fertility drug, which was there to make sure that they reduce the population, which is the ultimate aim of the Bilderbergs and the One World Government, reducing population. So these are real things. But God has nipped them in the bud. God is turning things upside down. Now these people are being exposed. And now the world is alert to the fact that we are not just going to listen to everything that is coming off the pulpits of politicians and, you know, World Health Organization and so on. Now, World Health Organization has become very corrupt, bought, completely bought and turned around by Bill Gates. Now, Trump has come out and has started a whole fight against it, because when he said that he's cutting funding, about $500 million to World Health Organization, other countries like Germany said, Germany are so into the whole new world order thing. And I believe the Antichrist will come and will have some connection to that country. Now, they are so in and connected to that thing. Now, other countries said they are, you know, wrapping up their funding to the World Health Organization. But that does not change too much because the G8 countries, okay, the G7 countries, which is the eighth one, Russia is not there, all came up and said that they are going to start investigating the World Health Organization and the corruption therein. So now the World Health Organization, which was a strong arm of Bill Gates and of China, is now coming under a lot of pressure to reform and so on. So now things are changing. Now, this, and that's good news. And that's what the Lord told me. That's going to turn around. It's actually going to turn around for a strength for the church. A big strength for the church. Now, let me show you the scripture the Lord showed me. And then I'll tell you how this is going to whatever. But now, first of all, I want to show you that in there are two scriptures that talks explicitly about the devil or Satan or Lucifer in the Old Testament. And that is one of them is in Ezekiel 28, where he's called either the king of Tyre or the king of Babylon. Now, the other one, of course, is Isaiah 14, where the devil is called the king of Babylon. In Ezekiel 28, he's called the king of Tyre. Now, here, we know those scriptures Isaiah 14, where it talks about the devil and the fall of Lucifer and all that, how hell from beneath is waiting for him, and so on and so forth. But there is a scripture I want to bring to your attention here. And it talks about, also in Isaiah 14, he talks about the Antichrist. And you know what the scripture calls the Antichrist? He calls him the king of Syria, okay? The Assyrian. The Assyrian. So the Antichrist is called the Assyrian. And the devil is called either the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14 or the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28. Now, I'll read for you from Isaiah 14, where he's talking about the Antichrist, not the devil. And starting from verse 24, he says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. As I have purposed, so it shall stand." Okay? Now, we're talking about the Antichrist system of this new world order, which I've explained to you from the Bilderbergs and so on. But the Lord says what he has purposed will come to stand. Then he says, "I will break the Assyrian," now that is the Antichrist, "in my hand and on my mountains, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke will be removed from them," that is from the church, from the people, "and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" Now, that's against the Assyrian. So when I ask the Lord, show me a scripture that actually, in the Old Testament, that speaks about the scenario we are in right now, where the Antichrist or the Assyrian and his system comes against the people of the world, and especially the church, and somehow he comes up trumps, meaning he's defeated. I told him, show me a scripture. Show me one scripture which talks about it. And he gave me this scripture, the story of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, here's the thing. When Hezekiah was king, he had just ruled for a few years before the Assyrian Empire. I'll just give you a brief background here. Now, the Assyrian Empire was the empire that destroyed Israel. Now, after the death of Solomon, Israel was separated between Israel and Judah. Israel was the 10 tribes. Judah was just Benjamin and Judah. So, Benjamin and Judah, those are the children of Joseph, were called Judah. And the capital was Jerusalem. Now, the rest of the 10 tribes of Israel, called the Northern Kingdom, were called Israel, remained called Israel, and their capital was Samaria. So, now, when the Assyrian Empire started coming, and they had a powerful king called Sennacherib, when he came, but before even Sennacherib became king, when Hezekiah had become king of Judah, he had only ruled for 3 years when Israel was taken. That is the Northern Kingdom. So Assyria came and took Israel and took the Israelites captive into, you know, a land of captivity. And the Bible says because they did not obey the Lord. So that's the Assyrians. Now the Assyrians then came next for Judah. After Israel, of course, the next place they were going to come for was Judah. Remember, I told you when I was teaching you last week about Judah being the brethren of the Lord. Now, here it's then they came for Judah. Then I'll read from 2 Kings chapter 18. It says, now it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Ela, king of Israel, that Salmon, a king of Israel, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Then the king of Samaria carried Israel away captive to Assyria and put them in Hala and by the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. It says, now in the 14th year, Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, now came up against the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Now Judah had cities which they had captured, you know, but not the real kingdom and Jerusalem. So Sennacherib and Assyria was such a powerful empire. And the way they used to come, they believed in taking their king, who called himself the King of Kings, Sennacherib, the King of Kings, was so powerful. He was so deep in he's actually top classic representation of the Antichrist. He called himself a god. He said he's not man, he's God. He used to call himself God. And actually, it's portrayed in some of the movies. If you've watched a movie about Code 300, about Sparta, you know, the way he came and portrayed himself as supernatural and so on. That's who he was, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And he had amassed a huge army. And actually, because of the huge army and even some supernatural fighters and, you know, beings which were fighting for him, which were of spiritual nature, many kingdoms did not fight. So he would just call and say, here is what the King of Kings is saying. Accept to be, you know, subjects of the king of Sennacherib, and we'll spare your lives, and we'll give you, you know, some tribute you pay to us. And yeah, we might do certain things to you, but it's okay. Rather than fight, because you cannot win. That's how they came. Now, and if you watch some of those movies, actually it's portrayed, because those movies are pictures of some of the things that happened in history. So here he comes, and so he first takes in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against all the 45 cities of Judah and took them. Then now here is what Hezekiah did. He was a young man. He was 25 years old when he became king. I'm reading from the scripture here, and says now, so he had just been king for a short time when this man came and took all the 45 cities of Judah. And now the next place to take, of course, was Jerusalem, where Hezekiah was reigning. Then I'm reading now from verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 18. It says, then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. Now Hezekiah decided he's not going to fight against Sennacherib, because he had no power to fight against Sennacherib. Judah was a small kingdom of just two tribes. Already, the Assyrians had already brought down a bigger kingdom of Israel and taken them all into captive. So he knew, aside from the God, he had no chance against them. So this time he did not inquire of God. He just decided to say, so he went that direction of not fight. So he says, okay, I've done wrong. I accept my wrong. Tell me whatever you want and I will pay. And the king of Assyria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. 30 talents of gold is several kilograms. It's actually almost a ton of gold. So he had to pick gold even from the temple and what, just to give to Sennacherib, to just tell him, okay, I'm wrong, but please don't come and fight me. I'm unable to, you know, to fight against you. Then he thought that he had appeased him. Now, this has been the approach of the church, of thinking that, let's obey what the laws are saying, let's do this, and, you know, maybe they'll let us, you know, maybe they'll allow us to go and do the thing, our things. The devil is not interested in allowing you doing anything. He's interested in turning the church into servants. Now, this is the lesson which Hezekiah, the king of Judah, learned, and this is the lesson that we are going to have to learn today. that there is no interest whatsoever from the enemy in being appeased. He does not want to be appeased. He wants to take you over captive. Now, after he had given the gold to Sennacherib, did Sennacherib say, okay, now I've accepted, we will not attack you, just relax? No, he didn't. Then the king of Assyria sent three people and came up to Jerusalem. And they stood by the aqueduct, the upper, stood by the river, by the fuller's field. And when they called out to the king, Eliakim, the son of, okay, I'm going to catch a lot of these things. Then they said now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence in this is this in which you trust? You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? First of all, they had not even rebelled against him, but he does not want the money. So he said, give me 30 talents of silver and 300 talents, 30 talents of gold and 300 talents of silver. Then he said, okay, sir, here they are. Then he says, no, but we are still coming to fight against you. And then he says, who do you trust? First of all, you cannot manage me. So he comes, and now what, I'm going to spare you from reading a lot of this, you can read it yourself. And then he comes and stands and now speaks to the people of Judah to discourage them against Hezekiah, their leader. He does not speak to the king. So he sends his servants and they stand at the wall of Judah. And they start shouting and they are speaking in Hebrew so that the people hear. And they start shouting and say, thus says the king, that is Sennacherib, who called himself the king of kings, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah say, make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and everyone of you drink the waters of his own cistern. Now, is that what he wants? Come and make peace with me? No. He goes on to say what exactly the devil wants and what the Antichrist wants. Listen to what he says. Now, I'm reading verse 32. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. Do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Remember, Samaria also, we are worshippers of Jehovah. But he's saying, well, where are they? Who among the gods of the lands have delivered their countries, you know, from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people, although they were listening to them speaking, the Bible says the people held their peace and answered not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of the people who had been sent, tore their clothes, and they went to the king. Now here's what happens. So, first of all, he says, come and make peace with me, give me gold and silver. Then you say, yes, sir, here's the gold and here's the silver. Then he says, okay, now I don't want just gold and silver. Now, accept that you're going to be my servants. I'll let you live. And I'll take you to a good land. I'll take you out away from your land and take you to a good land. And there you'll serve me. Okay? Lest you do not leave. Now, if you accept that also, then the purpose is to make you slaves. But thankfully, Hezekiah now understood that there is no way he was going to appease the devil. Now, this is our message for the church today. And this is what the Lord told me. That the people of the church have to understand that there is no way the devil is interested in being appeased and his antichrist system and all these people being led by, you know, these gates of hell and so on. They are not there to be appeased. They are there to put a mark on your forehead or in your right hand, okay, and to take you to hell. That is the purpose of it all. So there is only but one way out of it, and that is standing up as somebody who believes in God and saying, my God is going to be stronger. And so it was when King Hezekiah had it that he tore his clothes and covered himself in sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Okay? And then he sent his servants. I'm removing some of the names here and what. Sent his servants to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Now, here is what the king, here is what proper leadership does. Because we do have a prophet in this land. And we have a leadership, of course, that will not consult him because they are wicked. But now, proper leadership, when we get proper leadership, they ask, what is the Lord saying? We have a big challenge in which there are people, all our development partners, and want to immunize us against our will. And we know they don't wish us any good. We know that they have previously tried to immunize people with, and sterilize them, that they cannot give birth because they're trying to control our populations. They are going to make our children, we know that these same vaccines, now let me tell you about these vaccines. I'm telling you, these vaccines, caused millions of polio victims in India when polio had already been eliminated. That is why Bill Gates is being tried in the Indian High Court. Okay? Supreme Court. These vaccines, before they came, autism, on average, was one person in 10,000. One child in 10,000 children were autistic. When the vaccines came, it became one child in 32 children. So it is obviously caused by the vaccines. From one child in 10,000 to one child in 32. So it's obviously caused by the vaccines. And those are facts. Okay? Now, so these people come, you come and say, now I am the leader. They are going to impose on our people, whatever. So now, if you're a leader like the ones we have, you say, yeah, just go and vaccinate them. Who cares? As long as my children and what are spared from it. That's how our leaders think. Do not think for a moment that they think for the whole country. They do not, and you know it. If you convince yourself otherwise, you're just being a fool. You know they do not think for the rest of the country. Otherwise, they will not be putting us through the things they are putting us through right now. So, then he goes on to say here that, so they sent, the king sent to the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah the king, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. The children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. There is a revival that is coming to birth, an awakening of the church that is coming to birth. Something powerful, a fight back from the church, a new period of blessing of the church, where the church moves in a period of blessing. We have come to that, but there is no strength. The church seems to be so weak. There is no strength to make it come to pass. We are on the verge of a major revival. It's actually happening. Something that is going to transform the church and now put the church on top of all the affairs of the world, as it says in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted high above all mountains. That means above the mountain of politics. Okay? Above the mountain of medicine. Above the mountain of vaccines. The mountain of the Lord's house. Above the mountain of economics. The mountain of the Lord's house will be exalted above all the other mountains. And it goes on to say in that verse that the peoples of the world will come to say, will say, come and let us go to the house of the Lord, because it is He who has solutions. I am paraphrasing. It is He who has solutions for the problems we are having today. But right now, do we have that? Do we have the people saying, come, let's go to the Lord's house, for He's the one who has solutions? And at the beginning of this year, the Lord told me, this is the year then when the people will start saying, now, well, let's actually go to the mountain of the Lord's house. Let's go to the church. That's where the solutions are for everything, for finance, for economics, for prosperity, for politics, and so on. Now, that period is coming. That scripture, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, 3, 4, is repeated word for word in Micah chapter 4, verse 1. And these were prophecies which were given almost 100 years apart. And Micah was not quoting Isaiah. No, Micah got his own revelation, which was similar to what Isaiah got. Why is it repeated twice? Because it is so important that it shall come to pass in these last days. in these last days. It is not yet the last days until, I mean, it's not yet the last days the way the Lord wants it to be, until the mountain of the Lord's house is above all other mountains. And it is going to happen. There is no chance it will not happen. This is what the Lord was telling me. These people have come, they took a gamble to push their agenda before time. Now it is going to fall flat on their faces. And the church is going to arise and come out much stronger. He gave me this word, just like it did in the time of Hezekiah. Now, when these men stood on the wall and were mocking Hezekiah and saying, "Do not let your king deceive you, that he can fight against the King of Kings." Do you know what? Even the children of Judah themselves were mocking Hezekiah behind. How do I know that? Because later on, when Isaiah gives them the prophecy, he tells them that, no, actually, even the children of Israel were laughing at the king, saying, "Now, this king thought he's all that." But let's see what he's going to do against Sennacherib, the man who called himself the King of Kings, the mighty king of Assyria, the great Assyrian kingdom. But now, at least Hezekiah had the brains to send to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. Okay? Now, this period cannot repeat itself. Like the Lord told me right now. Unless there is an Isaiah in our period, and there is a prophet whom we know has a record, whom the leaders of this nation should be consulting, just like Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did. And now if they did, there would be a great deliverance. But of course, those people consult witch doctors, which is why their days are numbered. Because the time period in which we are living, that can no longer survive. They think they are in positions of strength, but they are not. They actually are not. Now, unfortunately, even some of the people in the church think they are in positions. Now, let me show you something. Sennacherib, when he came against Judah, was convinced he's invincible. Nobody can touch him. The king of all the other kingdoms, none of them even bothered to fight against him. Because when he rolled in his army, he even first would send an emissary and say, everybody knew how powerful Assyria is, and came and said, "No, this is what the king is saying. Just do this and this, and don't have to fight us." And all of them would say, "Yes, sir." But then he did not stop there. He said, "Now also this, yes, sir. Also this, yes, sir." Also, eventually they become slaves, and they find out maybe it was better we fought and died anyway. So here he sent to Isaiah the prophet. Now I'm telling you, for this period to be replicated, for this time period to be replicated now, there has to be a prophet like there was in the times of Isaiah, the son of Amos. This whole story is repeated, by the way, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 37. And there is a prophet. Okay, then he goes on to say, and they said that, okay, the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Now, here is Hezekiah saying, this is a turning point for the kingdom of Judah, but we are not strong enough to resist what has come against us. These guys have come and it's tight. So there is no strength to change what has come up against us. In other words, there is a powerful period for the church coming up, in which the mountain of the Lord's house will be on top, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Then he says, it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Habsheth, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Lift up your prayer. They tell the prophet Isaiah, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Some of these words don't just fall out of the sky. Okay? Lift up your prayer. I'm reading from the Bible. Okay? Go and check 2 Kings chapter 19. Verse 4. The king says, therefore lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, I'll say that again. Therefore lift up your prayer. They are telling the prophet, Isaiah the son of Amos, therefore lift up your prayer to the remnant that is left. So the servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Now remember, when these people, those Bilderbergs and the Bilderbergs come, and they seek to trample on the church, they are not trampling on the church. God here says, they are trampling on me. Now let me show them what he can do. Now God says, oh, since they have come to me and they think they are all that, let me show you what he can do. Now it says, surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against him. So, then this is what Isaiah told. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, something happened which took Sennacherib away briefly. But he left a word and said, that you shall say to the king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gazon and Haran and Rezeph and the people of Eden who are in Teresa. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Apad, and the king of the city of Savin, Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah did what every good leader should do. He went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. He has sent to reproach the living God. Now, Sennacherib did not reproach Hezekiah only. He said, do not let your God deceive you. Now, here is how God says, okay, let's see who is God. Not let your God deceive you. Where are the gods of the other kingdoms, which we destroyed? Where are they? Now, Hezekiah says, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands. What he's telling us is not a lie. They are that powerful, and they have laid, they have destroyed all those kingdoms, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, that you are the Lord God, you alone. Now Hezekiah, after sending the word to Isaiah the son of Amos, went and prayed himself and said, God, prove that you are God. Now here is what is going to happen, because these systems of the world, when I'm on a chat room with of pastors and so on, and I look at, of course I do not comment, but I look at all the things that are being said there and what, and I see that there is a sense of overwhelming, people are overwhelmed by all the things that are happening in there, completely overwhelmed, because it appears that they are powerless against all these systems. They can close down churches and nobody does anything. You can do what and nobody does anything. But the leaders of these churches are going to stand up and go to God and say, Lord, now it is time for you to prove to the leaders of this world that indeed you are God and you alone. Okay? Because there is a way, there is a mocking. The other time I was just in the presence saying how he was preaching, he had to sanitize his Bible and what. And he said it in a very mocking way. And, he's mocking God. And he's good at that, by the way. And that is the sign of somebody who is about to come down. Okay? Just like Sennacherib. And I'm going to show you. You can tell that he's there saying, okay, if God is all that, how come his church is so weak? Now, it's time for the church to actually stand up and say, okay, now God, come. Like, do you know that this Sennacherib says that we are powerless to do anything against the king of Assyria. We are powerless. We can't do it. We know he's powerful. On our own, we can't do anything. Okay? Then says there, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, because you have prayed to me, Judah, the children of God, because you have prayed to me, okay, against Sennacherib, king of, I have heard. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Okay? I'll just read for you a few things. The first one says, the virgin daughter of Zion has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Now what God is telling Hezekiah, that even your own people, they are there laughing at you, saying you think you're all that. But now, this man has sent people for you. They come and mock you in front of your own, the walls in front of your own subjects. and say, then even the messengers of the king said, no, you speak in Aramaic, we understand it. Do not speak in Hebrew. In other words, don't let these people hear what we are saying. Then the guy said, no, we'll speak in Hebrew. Let them all hear, because they are the ones who are going to be eating their vomit when we come and destroy your kingdom. So now even the daughters of Jerusalem were laughing at Hezekiah, saying, he thinks he's all that. Okay. Then God went ahead to declare how he's the one who made Assyria that great. But they think they are all that. But I will now read the two conclusions which I want to read here, because we are about to come to this end of even this second message. And it came to pass on a certain night, after all this, that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose in the morning, there were corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away and returned home and remained at Nineveh. Now, this is interesting. He was very powerful 1 minute, calling him, saying nobody can do what we have laid waste to the gods and all that. Next minute, he even does not fight. He just wakes up and goes and returns to Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nishroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Shazer, struck him down with the sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. So, 1 minute, Sennacherib is the king of kings, very powerful, mocking everybody. Where is your god? And so on. The next minute, his own sons, his own people. It doesn't even have to be his sons. It can even be his people. People within his thing are the ones who strike him down somewhere when he's somewhere worshipping. And bam! Then the great Sennacherib and the Assyrian Empire, that was the end of them, by the way, because even the people who took over were never as strong as that. Then something happened after all of this. In those days, and now this is the conclusion, which is very important, after Hezekiah had defeated Sennacherib by trusting in the Lord and the Lord fighting for him, as the Lord is going to fight for his church right now. And believe me, this is a word that the Lord gave me specifically. He gave me this parallel, and I've read it and seen all the parallels that are true and are going to continue to be true in the period in which we are living. Now, do you know what happened immediately after all that? Okay? Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said, "Thus says the Lord God, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord. You know that story. And said, "Remember, Lord, how I have served you," and so on. And thus, Hezekiah's life was extended by 15 years. Now, I'll not tell you what that means, what the 15 years extension means, and so on. That's a matter for another day. That one I can only say when I'm at fellowship. I'll not say that for now. But when the fellowships eventually resume. But what I'll say is that just know that what seems to be a period of defeat for the church is actually going to be a turnaround and a returning strength for the church, because the mountain of the Lord's house has got to be exalted high above every mountain. Now, what has helped us in all this? I'll end by saying this as after hearing the word of the Lord, and I have a few minutes left. What has helped us? There is now a clear battle between China and America. And now let me try to explain to you this battle. I might add on it in consequent messages, but it's very important for the end times, because now the battle that has happened between China and America is actually, in for the most part, a battle between good and evil. And there is no doubting the evil belongs to China, because, and I'm not just saying this as, I'm saying this as a Bible prophecy teacher, understand? Because even the people of the enemy in America are all supporting China against their own country. And there is a reason for that. So now, let me explain this. In times past, almost all wars were fought over land. Okay? Countries went to war. From the days of the Bible and all that, all went to war over one thing, land. That is territory. That's the thing for which, people fought. Now, when the Industrial Revolution came, and energy became such a powerful thing, and when the Industrial Revolution took root, and completely took root, Now, you stopped having wars over land. Okay? You started having wars over land, over oil. The next commodity that took countries to war was oil. Now, from the Second World War, okay, all the way up to, I think, 2003, almost all wars were fought over one thing, oil, including George Bush's war on Iraq and Saddam Hussein and what? In the Gulf War. And all wars were fought over one thing, oil. Why? Because the Industrial Revolution, energy, you know, everybody needed oil for purposes of energy and so on and so forth. That's the people that had oil had the power. So consequently, the big companies in the world were the Shell, what, the oil companies, the companies that had oil. But now something changed drastically. When 4G technology came in, all the companies which were on top before, ExxonMobil, oil, Shell, oil, there was Microsoft, not oil, and I've forgotten the rest, the top five companies, all the other four fell. The only one that remained was Microsoft. In other words, now everything shifted. Now the wars that are being fought right now are not over land or oil, they are all being fought over data. Because he who controls the data controls the world. Now, if people can know everything that you post on your social media and all your data and everything you do from your, and they can come up with a pattern to determine your purchasing habits and everything you do, your preferences, your likes, your what, and somehow grade you and do what, they control everything because they know where to sell what and so on. But they also have a control over you. So now all wars are being fought over data. Now, when the American tech companies wanted to go to China because, of course, of their 1.6 billion people, China told them that you can come and establish here, but you can't take our data out of this country. So they kind of closed the data in. So now you find companies like Apple with their iPhones and so on, you know, in China, and they cannot afford to do without China. So if they had to choose between China and America, all factors constant, they would still choose China. Why? Because Apple has, they say, they have 900 million phones actively being used out there, Apple. Of the 900 million, that's 900 million phones in the world, of the 900 million, 300 million are in China. So that means if they fall out with the Chinese Communist Party, and of course it's very easy, they can be thrown out, they would lose a third of their business, a third of their value in that area. That's something they cannot afford to do. Now, but what China did when they saw in 2008 that they move away from 3G to 4G, 2009 I believe, move away from 3G to 4G had changed everything, had changed the power brokers. Now the big companies became Facebook, became Apple, became Microsoft. In other words, all the companies, when 3G went to 4G, all the top five companies now have something to do with tech and data. When China saw that, they realized that they have to be in control of the move from 4G to 5G. So shall they be in takeover. Because they have a plan which was laid out by their president Xi Jinping to control the world, to be the top foremost power in the world by 2025. And they realized that the only way they can do that is by controlling the move from 4G to 5G. So that time they set out, they gave their Huawei and some of the other companies, they gave them $300 billion to go and develop 5G technology. And I said, go and develop 5G technologies to make sure that when the world is moving to 5G, everybody has to turn to China because we are the ones who have it. Now, America cannot do that because they fall by different laws. The American laws do not permit the government to give money to a private company. It cannot happen. If that happened, it would be a major scandal. China, they can do anything. They had any laws like that. There is a mixture between government and private firms. Even all these people, companies, their banks, you know, the China bank, and all of them are actually connected to government. But now they can't do that in really democratic states. So America could not give that money. Now it had to depend on one of their companies to invest money in 5G for America to be in control. Now AT&T, which could probably be one of the companies to do that, went and spent billions of dollars buying CNN, or rather Time Warner, which owns CNN and all the others, you know, yeah, that whole group. So now they are $80 billion in debt. They cannot invest any money in 5G. Neither can any of the other American, American companies have that money. China, the companies don't have to have the money. They'll get it from the government. Of course, if it was possible for America to give a private company money, they would have just gotten that money. They have $300 billion, no problem. But they cannot do that. So that means China is in control of 5G. And that means that, and America started their own investment in 5G, some of their companies, but they will not have it before 2025. That means between now and 2025, China is going to be in control of 5G. So what Trump is now doing is telling countries like the UK and others, do not install 5G. Because if you do, you're actually passing your data over to China. And they will use you to spy on everything that is happening. He actually told the UK that if you accept China to build your 5G technology, and you accept Huawei, rather, to do that, then they will cut off the intelligence communication between America and Britain, because they have that alliance where they share intelligence information. He said, but then we will not be able to tell you our intelligence information because it will be passed on to China through their Huawei. So there is all that battle over data. But the thing is, America is lagging behind and China is ahead. The question is, will the Western countries side with China and take on their 5G and ignore America, which is supposed to be the head of the West? Or are they going to stick with America and say, we'd rather deal with 4G and just a little 5G here and there, which we can do ourselves, not the big rollout of 5G. Would we rather deal with the 4G and wait for American companies to actually build their 5G? Then we shall take that, because we don't want to surrender to China. That's the big question for so many of them. Some have chosen not to refuse the 5G. For instance, Switzerland threw out 5G, and actually they said over health concerns. They said that they have stopped the installation of 5G towers over health concerns. Now, the question is, where will the Western countries go? Who will they choose between America and Russia? Who will they choose between America and China? Okay? Now, Russia clearly chose... Russia is in bed with China. Now, China needs to have an alliance with Russia, because the one thing that China is not about to get anywhere close in comparison to America is their military might. Even if they invested so much money in their military, it can never come close to America, because America has been investing in military for so many years. So China knows if they were to go for a real war, they stand no chance against the might of America in war. But if there's an alliance between China and Russia, then there's a chance for China, because Russia is not that far behind America. Because they too, through the whole Soviet era and all that, were investing a lot of money in military might. And I'm not so sure America would really want to go to war with Russia, because that would be a bloody war. China is a different story, because they are not anywhere close to America. So there is this whole thing. Now the question is, who between these two? So the Western countries, Britain, Germany, even Russia, although it's not part of the West, where are they going to go? Which direction will they look? Will they look to America and say, no, we'll, for the time being, ignore Chinese 5G and look this other side, and look to America to develop theirs and we'll go with that? Or are we going to go with Chinese 5G and tell America and basically give America the middle finger and so on? Now, the answer to that is in the Bible. Okay, I'll read it and end there, because we're coming to the end of time. It says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the great sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 10 horns, 10 crowns, and a head of blasphemous head, and on his head a blasphemous name. That's Revelation 13, verse 1. Then it says, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Now, leopard, of course, is Germany. I've said that before. He had feet like the feet of a bear, that is Russia. And he had a mouth like the mouth of a lion, that is the UK. Okay? And says, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his authority. Now, the dragon is China. So, where is UK, Russia, and Germany going? They are going to get their power, their 5G, from China, from the dragon. Now, that alliance has to be built. And eventually, they are going to cut off from America. Now, I will continue with that next time. But I think now that's been a bit of an overload for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Yet again, if you want to connect with what we are doing here and the blessing that is taking place in this place and that we are praying about, and now when I pray for a triple blessing for everybody, it includes all the people who are involved in this, you know, who even saw a seed here. But here is the thing. You can use these numbers, 0780-292-555, 0780-292-555, 0780-292-555. It's in the names of the Watchman Ministries. Or you can use Airtel 0755-292-555, 0755-292-555. I think that one, I still failed to change it. It is in my names, but it is a ministry line. I do not have control of it. I do not have it. Now, or you can get any of these messages, in case you miss them, on www.ugwatchman.com. www.ugwatchman.com. You can pick up all these messages as well as all the others. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
Tune in next Wednesday. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at UG Watchman. Instagram, The_Watchman256. For an appointment with The Watchman, please call us 256-780-292-555 or plus 256-755-292-555 or email us at info@ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, for the return of the King is much sooner than you think.